thanks for joining us here on Friday on WKAR's Current State. The summer film season kicks off this week. Current State's Emmanuel Berry spoke with MLive entertainment reporter and film critic John Serba about this year's cinematic offerings. Seems like the summer season is getting started earlier than it used to.
Yeah, it's not quite the same as our actual seasons the way we see them, but Spider-Man's coming out, which means it's summer.
It's summertime.
Yes. John Serba, every year he puts out his most and least anticipated list of summer films. This year he's divided them into two parts because there's a lot of films. So we talked about what's coming out in May and June. So we have superhero films, giant robots that are crushing things, monsters crushing things, some moody and dark indie films about aliens, vampires, raunchy comedies. All of them are going to hit the big screen in the next couple months. Things to enjoy and also things to wince at. John and I started with Spider-Man 2, which is technically The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
The reboot continues. This is not to be confused with Spider-Man 2. This is The Amazing Spider-Man 2. And those of us who read comics growing up know that there is also a Spectacular Spider-Man comic and a Web of Spider-Man comic. So perhaps when these franchises get rebooted and rebooted again, we will be using different adjectives to differentiate them. It's essentially Andrew Garfield again as Spider-Man, and Mark Webb is directing it. And I'm not entirely convinced that Mark Webb is a very great action director, but he's fairly serviceable. And Emma Stone is back as Gwen Stacy. And it's the big, do you like Andrew Garfield better than Tobey Maguire debate? And whatever.
Is that a debate worth having?
Well, yeah, that's exactly my point,
guess. Another superhero film that actually I'm a little bit excited for is X-Men Days of Future Past. This film, it combines a cast from the prequel X-Men First Class and then also the cast from the original trilogy. So Hugh Jackman, once again, will be playing Wolverine. And at this point, he kind of is actually just Wolverine playing Hugh Jackman, in my opinion, for the rest of the time. Anyway, he's going to be central in this film because there's time travel added to the complexities of their superhero universe, and it also stars hundreds of other people. What are your thoughts?
Well, Bryan Singer, the director of the first two X-Men films, is back, and this is kind of, it feels like this is going to be the last hurrah of getting Halle Berry and Hugh Jackman and Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart all together playing their characters. I'm really over Hugh Jackman in this role. I wish they'd recast Wolverine. This is, I think, the sixth or seventh time. I've completely lost track of it.
You can't recast him because he is Wolverine.
Oh, you can totally recast him. And I am a comic book geek going back many, many years, and he is way too tall to be playing Wolverine. I'm sorry. And I've had this axe to grind since, when did the first movie come out? 1999? 15 years I've been grinding this axe against Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. But, and so obviously he's going to be the character who's traveling back in time from the current day back to when the X-Men were a new group and led by James McAvoy playing Professor X and Michael Fassbender as Magneto. And those two actors were really good in the previous X-Men First Class film, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to more of that kind of chemistry.
The next category of films coming out this summer I'd like to call Giant Things Crushing Things. So we have Godzilla and Transformers are both hitting the big screen this summer. You're looking forward to Godzilla on your most anticipated list, but not so much Transformers. All right, why a fighting dinosaur over alien robots?
I need to tell you my bias right up front. I loved the Godzilla movies, the old rubber suit Japanese Godzilla movies. I loved those as a kid. I also loved Transformers as a kid, and so I'm bringing you know, an equal amount of nostalgia to both of these franchises. The difference is Transformers is directed by Michael Bay, who makes everything obnoxious and loud and incomprehensible, and I'm not convinced that removing Shia LaBeouf from the franchise and adding Mark Wahlberg to it is going to be necessarily an improvement. We'll see. But the Godzilla, you know, the bar is pretty low for Godzilla at this point because the last Godzilla film was the Roland Emmerich catastrophe.
Yeah.
That was so awful. And so this one, this has Bryan Cranston going bananas in every movie trailer you see for it. And it's also directed by Gareth Edwards, who a couple of years ago directed a movie called Monsters that was a low-budget indie that really made a name for him. And now Warner Brothers has given him, here's $150 million or whatever, make a Godzilla movie. And so I think there's some real potential with him because he showed some skill with Monsters and then the movie Monsters. And so hopefully he can bring a fresh angle on Godzilla.
The next film I want to talk about is another on your most anticipated list, and it's called Under the Skin, starring Scarlett Johansson as an alien.
This is directed by Jonathan Glazer, who really made a name for himself a good decade ago with a movie called Sexy Beast, which was really, really good. And he hasn't made many movies, but this one is getting a lot of buzz. It's opened up in bigger cities, and in fact, it's playing in Detroit right now, and it's slowly expanding to other markets. I get it here in Grand Rapids in a week. But the big buzz is how this is such a different role for Scarlett Johansson, and she's really stretching herself and also removing her clothing, playing this alien who is preying on men in Scotland. Typically, they're kind of derelict or hitchhikers or whatever. And I've kind of purposely not paid too much attention to hype or anything because from what I understand, the less you know, the more this movie will be effective to you. And so I've kind of purposely put a bag over my head and just said I want this movie to surprise me as much as possible. So, but you know, I do think Scarlett Johansson has the capability to carry something like this, and from all the pre-hype that I'm trying to ignore. She does. So,
a film with some local roots that also made it onto your most anticipated list is Only Lovers Left Alive. It was shot in Detroit and is partially set in Detroit, and it stars Tom Hiddleston and Tilda Swinton as vampires. We've seen a lot of vampire movies over the past 10 years or so. Is this just another vampire movie, or is it something more?
Absolutely not. You know, because, oh God, vampire movies. but this is directed by Jim Jarmusch, who you know is going to take a different angle on things. You know, he's one of the great indie auteurs of the last 20, 25 years. He did Broken Flowers and Ghost Dog and Dead Man and some other movies that tend to be fairly divisive. You love them or you hate them. And in this one, well, I think the big thing is we all know Tilda Swinton is a Class A weirdo, and so she's perfect to work with Jarmusch and play some kind of centuries-old vampire. The big key here is Tom Hiddleston. Everyone loves him as Loki in the Avengers series, and this is him. You know, can he do something else? I think it's pretty clear that he can. He's done Shakespeare, you know, but he hasn't done a lot of films that are kind of world recognized, and so he and Swinton play these centuries old vampire lovers, and I really want to see what he can do in this type of offbeat role in this type of unusual movie, especially alongside one of Hollywood's great eccentric actresses.
Oh, well, we also have a handful of comedies coming out this summer. On your least anticipated list, comedy-wise, we had Neighbors, which stars Zac Efron as a frat brother and Seth Rogen as a young father and annoyed neighbor of this frat house. And we also have Adam Sandler's film called Blended, and it co-stars Drew Barrymore, and it's about an African vacation, romance, funny things happening.
Theoretically funny.
Yes, yes. I mean, is this Sandler's comeback film?
No. Are you kidding me?
Have you seen the trailer
with Drew Barrymore spitting up French onion soup and Hooters? Oh, no. Poor Drew Barrymore. What are you doing? And Adam Sandler riding an ostrich. Oh, man. You want an axe to grind. You know, I've already talked about how I wish Hugh Jackman would give up playing Wolverine, and that's an axe I've ground for a long time, and I've ground an axe against Michael Bay's Transformers. My biggest axe is against Adam Sandler, who is the laziest person in Hollywood. Does not challenge himself with anything anymore. He does these dumb, idiotic comedies, and he keeps getting rewarded for it because Grown Ups 2 did hundreds of millions of dollars last year, and it just, oh, the world is just not a just place. But you mentioned Neighbors as well. Sorry. I was in a Donald Duck style angry rant. Red faced and breaking things. But since I wrote that piece, I've actually seen Neighbors, and it's pretty funny. So this is an instance of something from my least anticipated list surprising me. And Zac Efron, the premise is Zac Efron is a frat boy, and his fraternity moves in next door to a young couple played by Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne, who have a baby at home. And the kind of twist on it is they're a young couple who used to be the cool people, and now they want peace and quiet for their child. and they're at war with Zac Efron and the frat. And I'm probably not supposed to review it too far ahead, so that's where I'm going to stop.
You enjoyed it more than you thought you would.
Absolutely, absolutely. There is a part of me that as a snooty film critic, am I supposed to like this? Well, no, but you laugh anyway, in spite of yourself. and that's kind of why I'm also looking forward to 22 Jump Street.
Yeah, I was about to say that's on your most anticipated list.
I really enjoyed 21 Jump Street, and partly because Channing Tatum, who knew he could be funny? You put him on the screen doing funny stuff, and he's pretty good, you know, especially with Jonah Hill, and they had some chemistry. And the first one, actually, the action scenes were fairly well-directed. You didn't expect that. You know, there was some kind of exhilaration going on in this car chase. And, like, what am I really watching a comedy riff on a corny old TV show? I mean, what? I didn't expect to like that, and so, you know, the same team is back together. We'll see if they can capture lightning in a bottle again this summer.
This, of course, is just a sample of the films coming out in May and June. John, we'll talk with you again when the second part of your summer film preview comes out.
Yes, we have July and August to look forward to. It never ends.
Yes. As always, it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
John Serba is a film critic and entertainment reporter for MLive and the Grand Rapids Press. For Current State, I'm Emmanuel Berry.